Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, May 7, 2021. Coming up this hour,
jobs are in focus with a forecast of 1 million restored in April.
The Fed issues a warning on risk appetite in the wake of the Archegos collapse.
U.S.-China tensions bubble up on fronts from finance to human rights in Hong Kong.
Tourists in New York City could get vaccinations. Former New York Assembly Speaker Silver is back in federal prison. Plus, Harvey Weinstein wants his money back. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankee win streak came to an end. The Mets won. The Nets lost. The Rangers were shut out. The Devils topped the Islanders.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are higher this morning ahead of today's jobs report. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 5 points, Dow futures up 33, NASDAQ futures up 23, the DAX in Germany is up more than 1%. 10-year Treasury is down 1/32, the yield 1.57%, the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil, a little change, down 4 cents at $64.68 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5.30 at $18.21 an ounce. The euro 1.2085 against the dollar, and the yen is at 109.15. Nathan.
And Karen, we begin with today's highly anticipated employment report. Economists forecast 1 million jobs restored in April. Bloomberg economics correspondent Michael McKee says that would be good news, but not good enough for the Fed.
Even if payrolls match the consensus estimate, some 8 to 10 million people who had jobs in January 2020 would still be unemployed today. That's why Fed officials won't be celebrating a strong report. In their minds, there's still a long way to go. Unemployment will remain at least 2 percentage points above its 2019 low. Black unemployment, at 9.6% in March, is almost double its low in 2019. Millions also remain outside the labor force, unsure if there are jobs to go back to. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. And President Biden is going to give remarks on today's jobs report. We'll bring you his comments live at 11:30 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio.
Meantime, the Fed has a warning for markets in its semi-annual financial stability report. And we get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Karen, the Fed says a rising appetite for risk is stretching valuations and creating vulnerabilities in the U.S. financial system. Should risk appetite fall in this type of environment, prices may be vulnerable to significant declines. Now, the report mentions losses at banks stemming from dealings with Archegos Capital Management, and Fed Governor Lael Brainard, who heads the board's Financial Stability Committee, is calling for more granular, higher-frequency disclosures. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Now, when it comes to President Biden's massive spending plans, Jamie Dimon is weighing in now. The J.P. Morgan CEO wants Congress to spell out targets for building roads, creating jobs, and funding college tuition. In an interview for the Investment Company Institute, Dimon said, quote, "just throwing money, it doesn't work." Dimon also says if taxes are raised, there should be an itemized list of how the money will be used.
U.S.-China relations are in focus this morning on several fronts. First, we're learning the White House will continue at least one China-focused policy put in place by the prior administration. Limits on U.S. investments in certain Chinese companies are likely here to stay. And Kate says the details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
President Joe Biden is expected to maintain pressure on China by taking a tough stance on investing in corporations linked to China's military, including three of the country's biggest telecommunications firms. Biden is trying to navigate a fraught relationship with Beijing as tensions flare over issues ranging from trade to human rights to military moves. He is likely to find broad support in Congress, but Wall Street has urged the Biden administration to completely roll back the investment ban. Discussions are still in the preliminary stage and no final decision has been made. In Washington, Ann Cates, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ann, thanks. Tensions between the U.S. and China could ramp up another notch later today, this time at the United Nations. And Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has that story.
This as the U.S. will try to push its China agenda in a speech by Secretary of State Antony Blinken. China's foreign minister, Wang Yi, will also address the virtual session. Blinken plans to use his speech to further the communique from the G7, saying China's aggressiveness in places like the South China Sea, Hong Kong, and Xinjiang violate international order. China's consistent response has been to say this rhetoric is interference in its international affairs. Interestingly enough, China chairs the Security Council session as its turn in the rotating basis. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thank you. Regulators in China are also making moves this morning. Bloomberg News has learned China's securities regulator is weighing tighter rules for companies seeking a list in Hong Kong or overseas. It's a move that could hit technology firms already hurting from months of clampdowns.
Stocks tied to COVID vaccines are rebounding this morning. Shares fell yesterday on word the U.S. would support waiving vaccine patents. Now Germany is voicing opposition to that plan. The decision will ultimately be decided by the World Trade Organization, where several members oppose efforts to waive intellectual property rights. That proposed waiver is intended to ramp up vaccine production in the developing world.
Metal is in focus in the markets today. The price of copper has hit an all-time high. Copper, considered an economic bellwether, is at the forefront of a rally that's driven raw materials to multi-year highs.
On the corporate front today, shares of Peloton are recovering from yesterday's losses. That's as it says the financial impact from its treadmill recall will be short-term. Traders had been preparing for a larger blow after Peloton had to halt sales and recall its Tread and Tread Plus products. Here's CEO John Foley.
We believe treadmills remain safe and effective exercise machines for the home when operated as instructed.
Peloton CEO John Foley says the company's working on new safety measures for the treadmills, including a software update that includes a passcode requirement. Shares are up almost 6.5% in early trading.
And shares of Roku are up about 8% in early trading. The company's revenue forecast topped estimates, signaling demand for its streaming services continues to climb. Shares of Roku have struggled as of late, down about 40% from a February peak. S&P futures are higher up 4 points, Dow futures up 33, NASDAQ futures up 17. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with us to tell us what's happening in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Happy Friday to you, Nathan. New York City hopes to begin offering coronavirus inoculations to tourists by stationing vaccination vans in Times Square and other attractions. Mayor Bill de Blasio.
We want to go the extra mile, make it easy for tourists. If they're here, get vaccinated while you're here. It makes sense to put mobile vaccination sites where the tourists are. That is good for all of us that they get vaccinated. It's good for them. It's another reason to be here and know you're going to be taken care of.
Mayor de Blasio says the city has no plans to track tourists' vaccination status. The city needs state approval to vaccinate visitors and hopes to get an okay as soon as this weekend. Former New York Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver is heading back to federal prison after federal authorities denied him home confinement. The Associated Press reports that's according to a person familiar with the matter. Silver was released Tuesday from a federal prison on furlough while he waited potential placement to home confinement. The 77-year-old Silver had been in prison since August, where he was serving more than a 6-year sentence at a prison in Otisville, New York, on corruption convictions. Authorities say a girl brought a gun to her Idaho middle school and shot two students and a custodian. She was disarmed by a teacher at Rigby Middle School. Officials say that the three victims are expected to survive. Jefferson County Sheriff Steve Anderson.
A sixth grade female student retrieved a handgun from her backpack. She fired multiple rounds inside of the school and out.
Sheriff Anderson says they're investigating the motive for the attack and where the girl got the gun. Harvey Weinstein wants a refund from his one-time lawyer. The convicted rapist is suing attorney Jose Baez for breach of contract. Weinstein is seeking a refund on $1 million in legal fees, alleging Baez was regularly preoccupied with other matters, pawned off important work on other lawyers, was often unavailable to speak with him about his New York City rape, and so on. The disgraced movie mogul also says Baez provided fraudulent billing records. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshower.
Good morning, Nathan. Yesterday was Willie Mays' 90th birthday, and it was also Jose Altuve's 31st. The Astros second baseman heard it all week from Yankee fans for his involvement in the Astros sign-stealing scandal. It was Altuve's first game versus the Yanks since his pennant-winning home run against them 2 years ago. He came up for the eighth inning with the Astros trailing and two men on.
McCormick's going to 3-2, and Altuve drives this one deep to left field. It sends back Frazier at the wall, looking up. See you later! Jose Altuve with a go-ahead three-run homer. Astros lead it 5-3.
Astros radio the call. Houston went on to win 7-4. That ends the Yanks' five-game win streak. They'll host Washington tonight. The Mets will host Arizona. They won in St. Louis 4-1. Three of the four runs came in on a bases-loaded walk. The big baseball story, the Angels released future Hall of Famer Albert Pujols, who was in the final year of that 10-year contract, hitting just 198. Pujols is 41. Says he does not want to retire. The Nets, fourth straight loss, 113-109 in Dallas. Can't blame Kyrie Irving. He scored 45 points. Kevin Durant, only 20. Nets have still only played seven times with the entire Big Three intact, but James Harden insists he'll be back from his hamstring injury for the playoffs, if not before. Knicks are in Phoenix tonight. Devils top the Islanders 2-1. Rangers shut out in Boston 4-0. The Rangers put out that statement expressing their displeasure with the NHL's failure to suspend Washington's Tom Wilson, who was fined only $5,000. The NHL then fined the Rangers $250,000. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
And speaking of the NHL, John, what's it take to build an NHL expansion team from the ground up? Find out tonight on Bloomberg Business of Sports. We speak with the president and CEO of the Seattle Kraken, Todd Lewecki. Business of Sports tonight at 7, tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or anytime if you subscribe to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. S&P futures up 5 points, Dow futures up 34, NASDAQ futures up just about 20 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the New York Community Trust. Your name will live on as a champion of the causes you care about for years to come through a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust. Learn more at give2.nyc.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are heading higher with U.S. stock index futures, and commodities are extending their advance ahead of the U.S. jobs report. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 33, NASDAQ futures up 16. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 1.57%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1% or 5 cents at $64.66 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5.50 at $18.21.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.2085 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3915, and the yen, 109.14. And the jobs numbers are out at 8:30 Wall Street time. A report on wholesale inventories is out at 10, and consumer credit is at 3. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. With coronavirus cases surging to record levels, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi is facing growing pressure to impose a harsh nationwide lockdown. Many medical experts, opposition leaders, and some of the Supreme Court justices have suggested the lockdown seems to be the only option with the virus raging in cities and towns. Today, India recorded a new record of more than 414,000 confirmed cases in the past 24 hours. There will be no classes in the eastern Idaho town of Rigby today. Yesterday, a student shot and wounded fellow students and a staff member at Rigby Middle School. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees, Mets, and Red Sox won. The Nationals and A's lost. In the NBA, the Nets lost. The Wizards and Warriors were winners. In the NHL, the Devils beat the Islanders 2-1. The Bruins shut out the Rangers 4-0. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get more now on some of the latest developments in U.S.-China relations this morning. We're seeing them on a number of fronts. Joining us from Hong Kong, Bloomberg News, Chief Asia Economics Correspondent, correspondent Enda Curran. Enda, good morning. We know that the Biden administration has been reviewing former President Donald Trump's China policies, and now we're getting an indication that some of the limits former President Trump put on U.S. investment in China are going to stay in place?
Indeed. Good morning, Nathan. I think we're seeing something of a continuation of a hawkish theme. The latest news out of D.C. is that the Biden administration is considering extending this policy that the last administration under President Donald Trump implemented, which was effectively putting limits on U.S. investments in certain Chinese companies, effectively those with links to the Chinese military. Now, when this policy was announced last year, there was some confusion around who would be impacted and how it would be implemented. And there was a pushback from Wall Street and investors. And I think there was a feeling that with the new administration and with a possible change of tone in U.S.-China relations, this is, could be a policy that might be rejigged. But in fact, our colleagues in D.C. are saying that the current administration under President Biden is looking at going ahead and implementing this policy, which won't be popular with Wall Street. It will put essentially an investment blacklist on certain U.S. companies by Chinese investors. China has said before that they would threaten possible legal action in response. So this certainly will only go to further aggravate relations between both.
Yeah, aggravate not just between U.S. and China, but between the Biden administration and Wall Street. But have we gotten any further indication on what types of companies could be affected by this continued limit?
Well, as you say, it's still preliminary and still being discussed. We do know it's those companies that are said to have links with the Chinese military. We don't know specifics on that, but it's thought to be around the space of perhaps telecommunications in particular. In fact, we saw American Depository receipts, ADRs, for some big Chinese tech companies fall off on the news. So we're still somewhat vague on the details, but there's also a feeling that already U.S. investors are quite wary of getting caught up in the U.S. sanctions dragnet anyway, and that they have been, you know, taking steps to make sure they're safeguarded against these kind of measures in the first place. So it's not clear how much of a practical or tangible impact this will have. But you have to say, Nathan, at the very least, when you look now at the different fronts in the U.S.-China tensions, you've got human rights, you've got technology, you've got economic competition, and of course you have territorial and security concerns. There hasn't really been a change of tone with the new administration. They seem to be continuing on, if not even doubling down on the narrative. And this particular measure, minor though it may appear, this is one that perhaps people thought might be up in a mix or a review. But as I say, the indications are that they're going to push ahead with it and just carry on the work of the last administration.
Yeah, we certainly saw a lot of that hard line come out of the G7 Foreign Ministers Summit in London this week. And there's going to be a UN Security Council event hosted by China today. Are we expecting any further tensions there?
Well, look, China is looking for any opportunity or every opportunity it can to kind of sell a message on a global stage of being a responsible, you know, global citizen, that it will continue opening up its markets, it's willing to play the role of multilateral institutions. You know, none of this is new per se. This has been a message that's been coming from the top Chinese leadership for some time. So I don't necessarily think that, and I should also say, of course, by the way, that China is trying to ensure that the front of the climate change debate as well. So I think it's just been an opportunity for Chinese diplomats to showcase their efforts, to showcase their message against their U.S. rivals, to sell a message to those who might be willing to make a soft alliance with China, and of course to push back against the criticism from the U.S. and others over the South China Sea, over Hong Kong, over Xinjiang, and so on and so forth. So I don't think we'll get anything especially new, Nathan. It will be just a continuation of a theme, China pushing back against Western criticism, China making clear that it's willing to be a global, responsible global citizen on the world stage, and that it backs multilateral institutions and that backs globalization and everything else. And I suspect we'll get just another doubling down on that message.
And obviously, U.S.-China relations are huge when it comes to global geopolitics. Bloomberg News Chief Asia Economics Correspondent Enda Curran, thank you for all this. Good to have you with us this morning from Hong Kong. Just taking a quick look at the offshore yuan, a bit of strengthening there. It's at 644.96 against the dollar. Right now, S&P futures are higher by 5 points. Dow futures up 36, NASDAQ futures up 26 points, and the 10-year Treasury yield 1.56% ahead of the April payrolls report. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, increasing clouds on this Friday, low 60s today, a few showers possible tomorrow, upper 50s, morning sun for Mother's Day, but showers move in late, low 60s.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The government issues April payroll data this morning, and economists forecast a big gain, 1 million new jobs. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
The prior report showed America's economy added more than 900,000 jobs, the best showing since last summer, and jobless claims are finally falling. But Bloomberg Economics says full recovery from the pandemic will take time. The so-called jobs deficit relative to pre-pandemic levels is wide, roughly as wide as the Great Recession of 2007-2009. And it's across sectors, not just the hard-pressed leisure and hospitality industry. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Vinny, thank you. President Biden will issue remarks on today's jobs report. We'll bring his comments to you live at 11:30 a.m. Wall Street time and Bloomberg Radio.
Well, meantime, the Federal Reserve is issuing a warning for markets. It's part of the Central Bank's semiannual financial stability report. Bloomberg's Renita Young is here live with details. Renita?
Nathan, the Fed says a rising risk appetite is stretching valuations and creating vulnerabilities in the U.S. financial system. And should risk appetite fall in this type of environment, prices may be vulnerable to significant declines. And the report mentions losses at banks stemming from dealings with Archegos Capital Management. Fed Governor Lael Brainard is calling for more granular, higher frequency disclosures. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Metal in focus in the markets today. Copper is trading at an all-time high, and the Bloomberg Commodity Spot Index is at its highest level in 10 years. It's all due to optimism the economic recovery will spur a boom in global demand.
U.S.-China relations are also in focus. Sources say the Biden administration is likely to maintain pressure on Beijing by preserving limits on U.S. investments in certain Chinese companies. That is a continuation of policy imposed under former President Donald Trump.
Meantime, the U.S. and China will be offering different views on how to address regional and global crises today at the United Nations. Secretary of State Antony Blinken will make it clear the U.S. wants to defend a rules-based system, which it believes Beijing is attacking. China is telling Western nations to stay out of its affairs, such as its actions in Hong Kong and the South China Sea. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures are up about 6 points. Dow futures up 37. NASDAQ futures up 31. And the 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 1.57%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York's mayor said the city is in talks to offer free vaccines to visitors as a way to spur tourism.
This summer, you're going to see tourism come alive again in New York City. You're going to see a lot of jobs come back because of it.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio.
So we're going to be setting up these mobile vaccination sites where tourists go. We'll be using the J&J vaccine. We'll be in Times Square, Brooklyn Bridge Park, Central Park, the High Line, a variety of locations. And we're going to be working with the state of New York. We need the state to alter the rule that will allow us to provide vaccination to folks from out of town.
De Blasio says they hope to get an okay from the state as soon as this weekend. He says the city has no plans to track tourists' vaccination status. Former Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver has been ordered back to a federal prison in New York after federal authorities denied him home confinement. That's according to a person familiar with the matter who spoke to the Associated Press. Silver was released Tuesday from a federal prison on furlough while he awaited potential placement to home confinement. Silver's supporters have said he's in failing health. Silver, who is 77, had been in prison since August, where he was serving more than a six-year sentence at a prison in Otisville for corruption. Harvey Weinstein is suing his one-time lawyer, seeking a refund of $1 million in legal fees. Weinstein alleges Jose Baez was regularly preoccupied with other matters, pawned off important work on other lawyers, was often unavailable to speak with him about his New York City rape case, and later provided fraudulent billing records. A student is in custody after authorities say she opened fire in an Idaho middle school. Police say the sixth grader took a handgun out of her backpack and started firing at the school in Rigby before being disarmed by a teacher. The school went into lockdown. Bella Kinghorn was in the school auditorium and says she was terrified.
Me and my friends were like all crying and texting our moms and saying that what is going on right now. We were all very scared.
Bella Kinghorn spoke to ABC's Good Morning America. Two students and a janitor sustained non-life-threatening injuries. The state of Connecticut is moving closer to asking the voters whether they believe the state constitution should be amended to allow for in-person early voting before an election. The House passed the resolution that would put the question before the voters next year. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Almost 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Yankees seeking a sweep of the Astros. They had Gerrit Cole on the mound against his former team. They got yet another home run from the red-hot Giancarlo Stanton. His hitting streak up to 12. Clint Frazier homered as well, and the Yanks led 3-1, 3-2 in the eighth. But Jose Altuve celebrating his 31st birthday. A three-run homer off Chad Green. The Astros hit four out on the day. They won 7-4. Taiwan Walker pitched the Mets to a 4-1 win in St. Louis. In seven innings, Walker allowed only one hit, one unearned run. He struck out eight. Albert Pujols is 41, will someday be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he says he does not want to retire. The Angels just released him. The Nets in Dallas got 45 points from Kyrie Irving. Not enough. The Mavs won 113-109. That's Brooklyn's fourth loss in a row. The Rangers' fifth straight defeat, only 15 shots at a 4-0 loss at Boston. The season ends there tomorrow. This Tom Wilson incident has to frustrate the Rangers. The Capitals' enforcer not suspended for his actions Monday. But the Rangers' Pavel Buchnevich was suspended a game for a high stick on Wednesday. And while Wilson's fine was $5,000, the NHL fined the Rangers $250,000 for their criticism of the Wilson discipline. Devils top the playoff round. Islanders 2-1. Those two play again tomorrow, the regular season finale. In Charlotte, Phil Mickelson at age 50 shot a 64. He's got two-shot lead in a tournament where he's finished in the top 10 10 times. He's going for his 45th PGA victory. He would be the eighth to win a tournament after turning 50. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Last year, there were 76 Michelin-starred restaurants in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and the Westchester suburbs. This year, there are only 68. Seven new places were added to the list, meaning 15 restaurants dropped off. The news echoes the effects on the dining scene in one of the earliest epicenters of the pandemic. Public Service Enterprise Group is owner of New Jersey's biggest power provider. It'll sell most of its solar farms as part of a plan to get rid of non-nuclear generating assets and transition to a primarily regulated utility. It's selling its solar source portfolio to an affiliate of LS Power. Avelo Airlines will open a base in New Haven this year. It'll start flying a second type of Boeing aircraft as it expands to a nationwide network. The announcement comes 8 days after Avelo began flying with three 189-seat Boeing 737-800s from Burbank. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that problems getting packaging are delaying the rollout of fresh eggs because cartons are scarce.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Texas insists its electrical grid can handle the summer heat despite the recent crisis.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We are reporting on a crushing victory for the Conservatives in Hartlepool, one of the key results from a day of nationwide elections.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting BMW's optimistic about resolving the global shortage of semiconductors.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're watching, Amazon pausing plans for its annual Prime Day in Canada due to concerns over COVID-19. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
According to an email to Amazon merchants reviewed by Bloomberg, the pause will not affect Prime Day in the United States, which is scheduled for an undisclosed day in June. COVID-19 cases have been rising in Canada amid a slower-than-expected rollout of vaccinations. Less than 3% of the population is fully vaccinated, according to the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker, and Ontario, the largest province, has been under an emergency stay-at-home order for weeks. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And the parent of British Airways, IAG, reported mounting losses and says it's expecting only a gradual recovery in travel. The company also owns Spain's Iberia and Aer Lingus of Ireland. It'll deploy only 25% of its 2019 capacity this quarter. IAG says a rebound to pre-pandemic flight levels will take till at least 2023. S&P futures up 6 points, Dow futures up 41, NASDAQ futures up 28 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, increasing clouds, low 60s today. Few showers possible tomorrow, upper 50s. Morning sun for Mother's Day, but clouds and showers will move in late, low 60s. Currently 52 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are heading higher with U.S. stock index futures, and commodities are extending their advance ahead of the U.S. jobs report. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points, Dow futures up 37, NASDAQ futures up 26. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%, 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 1.57%, yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.33% or 21 cents at $64.50 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5.10 at $18.20.80 an ounce. The euro 1.2074 against the dollar. British pound 1.3912 and the yen is at 109.11. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. A mathematical model prepared by advisors to Prime Minister Narendra Modi suggests India's coronavirus outbreak could peak in the coming days. Meanwhile, India today recorded a new record of more than 414,000 confirmed cases in the past 24 hours. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a sweeping new voting bill. Florida now joins states like Georgia, introducing what critics call restrictive new reforms aimed at voter suppression. The Biden administration will unveil plans to conserve 30% of the nation's lands and waters by the year 2030. The effort also hopes to create thousands more jobs. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees, Mets, and Red Sox won. The Nationals and A's lost. In the NBA, the Nets lost. The Wizards and Warriors were winners. In the NHL, the Devils beat the Islanders 2-1. The Bruins shot the Rangers 4-0. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air, and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. President Biden's plan to raise the corporate tax rate has ruffled the feathers of firms across the country. It's also bringing back talk of corporate tax inversions to avoid a higher U.S. rate. For more on the options companies may be considering, let's bring in Paul Schmidt. He's a prominent international tax attorney and chairman of Baker Hostetler. Paul, good morning. So how are businesses preparing for this possible change in corporate tax policy?
Businesses are definitely looking very carefully at what that increase would mean for them. Modeling is starting. Planning is already starting. Businesses have had a real big change in the corporate tax rate just in 2017, where we went from one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world to, you know, a 20% to 21% tax rate. And that was really viewed as an incentive for businesses to stay in the United States, to keep jobs in the United States. Now they're looking at the possibility of that swinging back, perhaps not to as high as it was pre-tax reform, but to higher levels. They're trying to become prepared for what that will mean for their bottom line.
What kind of preparation could that lead to? Is there a possibility that we could see companies try to look for tax relief overseas?
Yes, I think that companies are starting to dust off some of the things that they had looked at before the rates were reduced in the United States in connection with potential overseas opportunities. And one of the nuances, Nathan, that I think people have to think about is it's not just the overall corporate tax rate on domestic earnings. It's also for the multinationals, the effective tax rate on their foreign earnings that they're looking at.
Now, of course, there's also a push in the Biden administration, particularly from Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, to go for a minimum global corporate tax rate. She says she wants to end the race to the bottom when it comes to corporate tax rates overseas. What kind of effect could that have when it comes to how businesses prepare?
That is exactly the point. It's almost an admission of one of the challenges in connection with the proposed increase rates on U.S. companies, and that is there's a recognition that if there's not a global minimum tax, if the jurisdictions around the world don't follow suit, there would be incentive for U.S. companies to potentially relocate either their top holding company headquarters operations and or other operations overseas. And so, you know, the thought there is that, well, if you can convince the rest of the world to follow suit, then we're still matched. You know, the U.S. rate would still be competitive compared to the rest of the world, and that would minimize that incentive. But the trick there is that you have to convince the rest of the world to do that. And, you know, that is, you know, you might get some to sign on to that, but others won't. Others will look at it and say, hey, look, we still need to be competitive. We still need to incentivize businesses to come to our jurisdictions, and our tax rates are a way to do that.
Aren't there pretty big costs, though, involved with reincorporating toward more foreign tax exposure?
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of hurdles in connection with moving operations from the United States to, offshore jurisdictions. And that creates friction, that creates cost, and it disincentivizes it. And so it all really becomes a balancing of the cost and the benefits. But when you're looking at companies looking at opportunities to grow, they're going to want to be competitive with respect to the jurisdiction that they want to grow in. And that will be, looking at how to plan from a tax perspective and compete with non-U.S.-based multinationals. And so it becomes, you know, a factor in those considerations.
Thank you for this, Paul. Good having you on with us this morning. That's Paul Schmidt, international tax attorney and chairman of Baker Hostetler. And of course, this is a story we will continue to follow in the days and months to come as we get more details about the White House tax plan. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Medicare is increasing the amount it pays to doctors who use a COVID-19 antibody treatment that has shown promise in keeping patients out of the hospital. The Utah Supreme Court ruled that transgender people are entitled to petition a court to change their legal gender designations and amend their birth certificates. The New Jersey Supreme Court revived a potential class action against the retailer PC Richard & Son. Consumers complained that the chain issued receipts that included credit card expiration dates.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now another legal story we're watching brings us to the Supreme Court, where justices are considering shorter sentences for people convicted of possessing small quantities of crack cocaine. The case centers on how to apply a 2018 law called the First Step Act. The Trump administration had argued for a narrow application of the law, and now President Biden's team is reversing that stance. For more on the case, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Mark Osler, a professor at the University of St. Thomas School of Law.
On the date when the government's main brief in the case was due, the Biden administration informed the court that it was changing positions from the Trump administration and now siding with the defendant in the case. So the court appointed an outside lawyer to argue the case against the defendant and the reduced sentence. Why did the Biden administration change positions at the last minute?
I think that they had pressure from reformers, certainly, that they should do so. That there were a number of people, including myself, who had taken up these First Step Act cases pro bono and had noticed the problems with them. And frankly, it was inconsistent with the very bipartisan spirit that was behind the First Step Act in the first place. And, you know, even before they had everybody on board at DOJ with the incoming nominees, they did switch sides, and the Supreme Court appointed someone to represent the other side now that the DOJ had abandoned that position. You know, one thing that fascinates me about this, especially in our current political climate, is that there was amicus brief that was submitted in support of the First Step Act applying to Mr. Terry that was submitted by four senators, Durbin, Booker, Grassley, and Senator Mike Lee. Now, that's a pretty incredible lineup, if you think about it. I mean, from one end of the ideological spectrum to the other. And it really reflects the bipartisan consensus that was behind the First Step Act.
Was there more questioning about the intent of the act or about the statutory language?
The justices were interested both in what the intent was, but also, you know, what injustices does this create? And underneath it all is you look at what Mr. Terry was sentenced to 15 and a half years in prison for 4 grams of crack. It's shocking. And, you know, I'll tell you, I'm talking to you right now from downtown Minneapolis. I'm looking down over Nicollet Mall. I'm about a mile away from where Derek Chauvin, the police officer who killed George Floyd, is going to be sentenced shortly. And most people are saying that what he'll get for that cold-blooded killing that America saw is going to be about 15 years. And that's the same as Mr. Terry got for having the 4 grams of crack.
And that's Mark Osler, a professor at the University of St. Thomas School of Law, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal search and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures up about 6 points this morning. Dow futures up 36. NASDAQ futures up 23. And the 10-year Treasury down 1/32. The yield 1.57%. Our top stories straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.